Well, as we mentioned this morning, day three of this election campaign, today the federal opposition will commit to a 1.5% company tax rate from the 1st of July 2015. The move would help offset the cost of the coalition's paid parental leave scheme. The cost was going to be slugged to big business. They were facing a 1.5% levy to pay for it. Yesterday, the political debate centred on what the interest rate cut says about our economy. It used to be good news for homeowners when rates come down. Now it's also political ammunition in this highly charged campaign. The coalition says it's a sign of a struggling economy.
The Reserve Bank has cut interest rates to record low levels because the economy is struggling under Kevin Rudd.
Shadow Treasurer Joe Hockey, the Federal Treasurer Chris Bowen, says the record low rates are good news for families, particularly as the economy continues to grow. To try and make some sense of these claims and counterclaims, let's go now to respected economist Saul Eslake. He's the Chief Economist with the Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Saul Eslake, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks for having me again, Fran.
To the interest rate cut that we expect we expect Tony Abbott to announce today. For years, Australia has debated the need to cut company taxes. Now we're getting this pledge, the coalition promising a 1.5% cut to the company tax rate. Is this good policy?
I think it will help business confidence, and as Glenn Stephens said last week, it would be a good thing if business confidence was stronger than it actually was. I think a lot of the coalition's motivation for bringing this on is to neutralise what is undoubtedly a good deal of unhappiness among larger businesses about having to pay a 1.5% levy for the coalition's paid parental leave scheme, although businesses are reluctant to speak out about that in circumstances where they think they might be criticising the next government. There is a good deal of unhappiness about that scheme, and this is one way of neutralising that opposition, whilst also giving a benefit to some 750,000 other companies who won't be eligible to pay the higher tax. Of course, some of that will go to foreign companies and hence be of less benefit directly to Australia. And the policy also has to be judged in the context of the savings that the coalition will announce later in order to pay for it. But at first glance, it does seem to be something that will potentially have a positive impact on business confidence at a time when that's been sorely lacking.
And what about beyond the confidence? Because Tony Abbott will cite Ken Henry today. He's the former head of Treasury and head of the Henry Tax Review, and where he said a year or two ago, a company tax cut benefits the workers. Ken Henry noted a company tax cut would increase the level of business investment in Australia across all sectors. Can we calculate what a company tax rate can do to economic growth?
I don't think you can. Ken Henry has often argued from a theoretical position, and his academic research was on tax policy, that part of the burden of company tax is borne by a company's employees rather than by its shareholders or its consumers. Economists argue among themselves as to the extent to which that is correct. But I think the main benefit, to the extent that there is one, in cutting the statutory company tax rate will probably come through its impact on business confidence and investment.
Can we go to confidence more broadly now and yesterday's interest rate cut, how that plays into that? The Reserve Bank didn't mention the federal government in its statement announcing the rate cut yesterday, but the Shadow Treasurer, Joe Hockey, says it's Labor's mismanagement of the economy which has forced the Reserve Bank to slash rates to a 50-year low. Is that a fair call?
Well, I doubt that the Reserve Bank would be attributing any part of its decision to any aspect of government policy. But I think it is fair to say that the decline in interest rates yesterday, and indeed many of the recent declines in interest rates we've had over the past year, have been prompted by persistent weakness in the economy and by the fact that consumers and businesses haven't been as responsive to previous cuts in interest rates as they have been in days gone by.
So in shorthand, Joe Hockey is correct when he says it's a sign of a struggling economy.
It is a sign that the economy is growing at a below-trend pace and that unemployment is rising, both of which were points Glenn Stevens made in his post-meeting statement yesterday, and the Reserve Bank's trying to do its bit at the margin to boost growth and prevent unemployment from rising. It's also trying, as the statement explicitly pointed out, to give a further downward nudge to the dollar. Indeed, Glenn Stevens' statement was almost explicitly inviting the financial markets to continue marking the Australian dollar down, noting that that would help improve the transition from growth led by mining investment to growth led by other parts of the economy, which both the Reserve Bank and the government have been trying to nurture for some time.
Well, this comes in the context of an election campaign, so both sides will be looking at political mileage from this. Is it valid for the coalition to say this goes directly to the Labor's management or mismanagement of the economy, or are the factors that have led to this and keep our economy struggling, to use Joe Hockey's term, or economic activity weak, are they forces beyond the government's control? The dollar is one, a slowdown in China is another.
I think many of the factors are beyond the government's control. The slowdown in China, as you said, which is directly impacting national income through lower commodity prices, and also having some indirect effect on the level of investment in the mining sector because many mining projects have been deferred or cancelled. That's in part because of lower commodity prices, although, as others have pointed out, it's also in part because of increasingly uncompetitive cost structures here in Australia. Some of that's a reflection of the strength in the exchange rate, which can't really be attributed to the government. Some of it is also been attributed by companies to factors such as labour costs and regulatory costs, some of which can be sheeted home to the federal government. Some of them can be sheeted home to state governments as well, which through legislation have directly impacted, for example, proposed investments in gas exploration ventures. So there are a number of potential sources to be blamed for some of these difficulties. Not all of them can be sheeted home to the government.
It's 5 to 7 on breakfast. Our guest this morning is economist Saul Eslake. Saul, the Treasury has come under fire for its budget forecasts for growth and revenue, which keep changing. Joe Hockey says the Coalition won't use Treasury numbers issued during the election campaign to help the electorate work out how their policies, Coalition policies, will affect the budget bottom line. He says because the numbers can't be trusted. It's just dumb, he said. Is this a legitimate decision to make, do you think, given the volatility we've seen?
Well, it's certainly true that Treasury numbers for the economy have moved around a great deal over the last 3 or 4 years. The Treasurer has said, and I think he's right, that this is not a problem that is unique to Australia. Governments around the world, treasuries around the world, have had more difficulties than they've had hitherto in getting their forecasts of revenues and expenditures right. But I wouldn't be too concerned about the opposition's unwillingness to present estimates of what the budget deficit or surplus will be or when it will return to surplus, as long as they do put out fully costed and credible estimates of the impact of their various policies, then people in positions like mine can do the arithmetic and let the public know what the impact of the net impact of all of those policies will be using the Treasury's figures as a starting point. And of course those figures, those starting point figures, will be revised between now and when the mid-year economic and fiscal outlook is due to be brought down sometime between October and December. That may be Joe Hockey's responsibility. It may be Chris Bowen's, depending on what the people decide. But it's a fairly simple arithmetical matter. If we can take the coalition's costings, whoever does them, as being valid and credible, to take the figures announced for the projections announced for the budget deficits and surpluses over the next 4 years by Chris Bowen last Friday and add or subtract the net impact of what the coalition announces from them to give the public some idea of what the budget surplus or deficit will be.
All right, well, we'll be calling on you later to do that. What about this criticism about the volatility of budget forecasts of late? Evidence that Treasury is failing in its job, or perhaps worse, as the coalition sometimes seems to suggest, it's doing the bidding of the government?
I don't think there's any evidence, and I'm certainly not aware of any valid basis for suggesting that Treasury has been politicised or bullied by the government of the day, either now or under previous treasurers. It's certainly true to say that Treasury has had a hard time getting these numbers right. I think a fairer criticism of the present government would be that perhaps it hasn't been as willing as it should have been, given some of the experience it's had, to take a more cautious view of Treasury's revenue forecasts and to resist the urge to spend virtually every dollar of the revenue that Treasury has forecast it will raise. A more prudent approach would have left the budget less vulnerable to the repeated revisions that have actually taken place. But I wouldn't read anything other than the severe difficulty of getting these forecasts right in the circumstances that have prevailed beyond the financial crisis into the fact that Treasury has repeatedly had to downgrade its revenue projections.
So, Leslake, I think we're going to need you on every week of this campaign to help us make sense of things. Thank you so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure, friend.
So, Leslake is Chief Economist with Bank of America Merrill Lynch in Australia.